The scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter, the first 12 verses. We have already sung in the first Noel, pretty much the biblical narrative, with a few additions in the song. But I call your attention to it again this morning, and I read from God's Word. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least of the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is the shepherd, who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. Excuse me. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another way. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Don't worry if the title of the sermon bears little resemblance to the content of the sermon. These bulletins were prepared well in advance during all of the bulletins of the Christmas season. This one we might call, "How Wise Are We?" The Magi, or the wise men, are fascinating people. There are some things we know about them, and there's a lot that we just don't know about them. Some of the things we don't know about them are, how many of them there were. We assume there were three. We characterize them as three because of the three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but that may or may not be. I mean, two of them could have given frankincense, and two could, you know, we don't know. It could have been, and I suspect it's not out of bounds to suggest that there was something of an entourage, not just three camels with three people on them. For one, they had treasure chests. They probably had servants with them for the long journey. They may very well have had armed guards, soldiers, to protect them on the way, so that when they showed up in Jerusalem, they made a stir. It wasn't just three exotic people from the Orient coming into Jerusalem, but I would bet it's not out of bounds at all to suggest that, you know, there might have been something of an exotic parade as these folks, whether there were three in entourage or whether there were a number of magi who came seeking the one whose star they had seen rising in the east. They were scholars. They probably weren't kings, Although they may have been from the ruling class, at least in the caste or class system of Persia, but they were certainly learned. They would have been something of like a combination of astronomers and astrologers, because they believed, and it was not uncommon to believe, as some astrologers do, that what happens in the heavens, what happens in the stars, relates to events and may be portents of events that have happened, happening, or going to happen here on the earth. But another thing we know about them is that whatever it is they learned, and by the way, they discovered this star by their learning. These were learned people. They were exercising their gifts. They were studying. This wasn't the first time they would have looked to the stars. But what we also know that not only did they exercise their learning and their gifts, but they used what they learned. It impressed them. In fact, they were passionate about what they learned and what they saw in this star. In the rising, we don't really know what the Star of Bethlehem was. The best guess seems to be it's probably a conjunction of planets that come around that time. It's been speculated it's Halley's Comet, but that doesn't quite work in terms of history. It could be just the Shekinah glory of God, that shone around the shepherds when the angel showed up. I honestly don't know, but the best guess seems to be, at least from a human perspective, that something like this may very well have been seen in the east at its rising, at a particular juncture, at a particular time, which would be interpreted and suggest to these scholars what that meant, and that it meant what they said it meant, that somebody of importance, a king, was born in the west. And so they followed where they believed the star was leading them. But you know, they weren't the only wise men. By the way, at our 5 o'clock Christmas Eve service, we had more than 3 wise men standing around down here. That's one of the joys of it. We got a bunch of shepherds, and it's just, I just love that service so much. There were other wise men. You know that Henry Van Dyke wrote a fairly well-known story called The Other Wise Man, and it's about one who in the story was supposed to link up with the three, or you know, the ones who made it to Bethlehem, but for whatever reason was detained and wasn't able to meet up with them, but he had precious jewels to share with the newborn king and made his way by himself and put those treasures that he was going to give to the newborn king to good use for other purposes. But you know, there were other wise men. There really were. For when Herod and Jerusalem discovered these people in their midst, it said that fear, that Herod was afraid, and let me just read that. When Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. So these people made an impact on the entire city. And so what Herod did is he called his wise men together. He called together all of the chief priests and the scribes of the people. Now these were the scholars that he had at his disposal. These were men of learning. These were educated. Now, they might not have been able to read the stars and the heavens, but they were able to read the scriptures. They knew the Old Testament. They knew what we call the Old Testament. They wouldn't have called it that. They would have just called it the scriptures. And so when Herod wanted to have them find out what it meant, what the Magi saw and followed, with great passion and commitment, by the way, and cost to them, they were able to. They themselves were able to interpret that the Messiah, the King of the Jews, was indeed prophesied in the Scripture. And not only that, but the Scriptures seem pretty clear that that Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem, city of David. And they told Herod that. And Herod conveyed that information on, and the wise men discovered again the star at its rising again, and it led them to Bethlehem. But you see, here's the difference. There's a big difference between those wise men from the east and Herod's wise men. As we've already said, the wise men from the Orient used their knowledge, and they followed it passionately with the intent to go and not only lay their valuable gifts. These gifts may indeed have been what allowed the Holy Family to survive after the slaughter of the innocents and that they had to go on the run. We don't know. But they came with the intention of worshiping. Herod's wise men had the knowledge. They were able to ascertain that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. Herod got that knowledge from them. And this great, these people coming from the east and this entourage, one would think that they'd want to follow them. That if that was the case, that these people were so committed to what they had learned, what the other wise men, the Jerusalem wise men, had learned, you'd think they would want to be committed to that knowledge and see it through and go and worship themselves, but they didn't. In other words, they had the knowledge, but they didn't have the heart that the Magi, the wise men from the east, had. So much of life is like that. I mean, this is the new year, and this is the time when, yes, again, we make our New Year's resolutions. You know, whatever it is, I can tell you what my doctor told mine to be: lose weight and exercise more. I mean, like I needed the doctor to tell me that. But see, that's the point of it, isn't it? We know what we need to do. You know, if we're addicted to something, we know we need to break the addiction. We know that if we're overweight, we need to lose weight. We know that if we're not eating healthy, that we need to eat healthy. We know that if our lives are under stress constantly, we have to find some way to deal with the stress, either through counseling or yoga or meditation or exercise or whatever it is. We know this stuff. We know what living a good life is. We don't do it. We're like Herod's wise men. We may have the knowledge. You know, we may watch, who is it, Oz. We may watch Dr. Oz every day, you know, and you want a diet. Yeah, I read Dr. Oz's book years ago. It seemed to help, but I probably ought to go back and read it again. We get the knowledge, but we don't live it. Well, let's not let Christmas go just yet, because we've experienced it again in all of the joys and tiredness of it, in all of the wonderful things. Just by the way, I had a wonderful time with my kids and grandkids in Pittsburgh this past week. There, I hadn't seen some of them in a long time, and it couldn't have been better. By the way, Steve Krokos sends his greetings. I was with the Krokos on New Year's Eve. Now, I had no idea. Oh, Christmas. We have celebrated God with us. We have celebrated by giving gifts to others, receiving gifts, God's great gift to us. We know the theology. You might even know the word incarnation. But if nothing else, even if you don't know that, you know that Christmas is about God's gift to us, God coming to us in His Son. You know that. Every year you hear it again. Different emphasis. But here's the thing. Will we live what we know? Will we take Christmas and the reality that we know it is into the new year? Will we live as though God is with us? That can mean any number of things. It could mean ethically, that we know that God is with us, and so that conditions how we live. It could also mean peace. It could also mean joy. It did for the Magi. They were overjoyed because they had lived what they learned. They were living what they learned. We so easily pack up Christmas. We put it away in the boxes. And we live into the new year with our resolutions and our hope that this year is going to be better than the last. And sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. And most of the time, we don't keep the resolutions we make, even though we know we should. The Magi are such great models for us because they used their learning, what they knew. And they put it into practice. What would our lives be like if we did that in terms of health? And if we did that in terms of Christmas, of God with us, God help us to live what we know. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the ushers will gather and wait on us for the morning offering.